The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 451 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter. And we always appreciate the feedback there at TheSportsRPT. A lot to get to. Unfortunately, Wild Card Weekend was a dud. All four games decided by double digits. Average margin of victory, 19 points. It was frustrating if you root for close games like me. Not frustrating enough that I punched a hole in the wall. Oops, was that too soon, Giants fans? The chief of the excuse police will be stopping by today's podcast, and I will put an end to the rest versus rust debate, plus a look ahead to the divisional round of the playoffs, which has to be better, right? Three of the four matchups look good to me on paper, and to be honest, I wasn't expecting much out of Wild Card Weekend anyway. When you have backup quarterbacks on the road in the playoffs, it can get ugly quick. The four games coming up will be better, no doubt about that, except for one. Patriots are the biggest playoff favorite since 1998. And guess what? This line is going up. I'll tell you what it is, and I'll have updated Super Bowl odds for the teams that are left in the NFL playoffs. And believe it or not, a member of the Philadelphia 76ers is talking about playoffs. No, there's no one on the roster with the last name of Mora. I'll explain. It's all on episode number 451 of the Sports Report. We're with you every Monday on GrizzlyProductions.tv. And of course, in the podcast section of iTunes, just type in the Sports Report and the show will come right up. 30 to 40 minutes, high energy, fast paced, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. And that's the key. All right, we start in the NFL, and the game I think most people were looking forward to was the Giants and Packers at Lambeau Field, the finale of Wild Card Weekend. Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers, an 11-5 Giants squad that beat Dallas twice versus a red-hot Green Bay club playing on the frozen tundra. It had the makings of a good one. And it was 7-6 late in the second quarter. The Giants early on looked like the better team. I know a lot of guys that had the Packers in this game, and I was texting them on Sunday saying, sorry guys, I think you're on the wrong side of this game. But things can change quickly. I thought early the wide receivers for New York were getting open. The receivers for the Packers were not. Rodgers had nowhere to go with the football. He was getting frustrated. Even the crowd was getting frustrated. But New York failed to capitalize on early opportunities, and you can't do that in the postseason. Odell Beckham Jr. dropped a third down pass right in his hands. He dropped a touchdown pass. Sterling Shepard, who's a good young receiver, but he also had a critical drop in this game. Big Blue should have been up a lot more than 6-0. You even heard some rare boos from the Cheeseheads at Lambeau. Green Bay's offense was doing two things, jack and squat. But everything changed late in the second quarter. Rodgers hit Davante Adams for 31 yards down the sideline, and just two plays later, Adams caught a 5-yard touchdown pass, and bam, just like that, Green Bay was out in front. Next, the play that everyone is talking about around the water cooler today. Rodgers, who is the unofficial king of the Hail Mary, heaves a ball to the back of the end zone on the final play of the first half. Randall Cobb gets away with pushing a DB in the back, and I didn't hear Buck or Aikman say anything about it. After they came back from the halftime break, then Buck mentioned it. Even the guys on the halftime show, I couldn't believe they weren't talking about it. I noticed it right away. I mean, it's an old veteran move in basketball when you're out in the playground. That rebound comes up, you're boxed out, you can't get inside position, so what do you do? Oh, a little nudge in the back, and all of a sudden the guy goes flying and the rebound comes right to you. Well, he got away with the push, catches it for a 42-yard touchdown. Unbelievable. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? And what a demoralizing play for New York to give up a bomb like that right before the break. And now you are down 14-6 after you outplayed the Pack for about 26 minutes of the first half. Huge swing in momentum. However, I thought Mike McCarthy did the Giants a big favor by going for it on 4th and 1 from his own 42 in the third quarter. You have the lead. You have momentum after the Hail Mary. The crowd's back on your side. Put the stinking ball in the air, punt it away, and play defense. Nope. He turns into a teenager playing John Madden, or in my case, Tecmo Bowl, the greatest video game ever created, and McCarthy decides, I'm going to go for it on my side of the 50 with the lead. The risk was definitely not worth the reward in that particular situation. Sometimes 4th and short, I'm cool with it. In this case, you have the lead, you're in control, you're at home. What is the reward? A first down around the 43 or 44 yard line? Who cares? It's not worth it. He turned into a fan there and went for it. Big mistake. Ty Montgomery was stuffed and New York was in business. He gave New York life again with that call. Two plays later, Eli hooks up with Tavares King for a 41-yard touchdown pass, and now we have got a one-point game again at 14-13. In general, there were a lot of bonehead penalties, wasted timeouts, bad coaching decisions this weekend. I mean, it is the playoffs, right? I mean, this isn't week one or week two or week three. Some of this junk we just should not see right now. The good news for McCarthy, he has a guy by the name of Aaron Rodgers under center, and Rodgers started to get into a groove in the second half. A 30-yard strike to Cobb, then a quick field goal thanks to a short field, which was due to a return blunder. You know, special teams, that third phase of the game that often gets overlooked. Giants made a big mistake there on return, pinned them deep in their own territory, basically gave Green Bay a free 3 points there. And then Rodgers to Cobb again from 16 yards out. And just like that, Green Bay blew it wide open. It's 31-13 with 9:19 to go. And I have to point out, they're doing all this in the second half without Jordy Nelson, who is one of the best receivers in the game. He's not even out there, and they are shredding the secondary for New York. Final score was 38-13, and I'm going to get to OBJ in a second, but what surprised me was how bad New York's defense was in the second half. I mean, that defense had 5 All-Pros on it. 5 guys were either first team or second team all pro from that New York defense. And as I've said all season long, the defense carried the Giants. You hear about Beckham and you hear about Eli Manning. this season wasn't about the offense for the New York Giants. It was about the defense. And they wound up allowing 406 yards and nearly 40 points. I did not see that coming. Remember, the Giants had just shut down a pretty good offense in Washington to end the regular season, and that was a game Washington needed to win to get in. A Rodgers pass for 362 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was absolutely money. And I just think too many media bobbleheads are only talking about Beckham here and not New York's defense. Now, I will get into a Beckham coming up. We'll cover the other 3 wild card games. We'll look at the divisional round matchups, give you the lines out in Vegas for those as well. A lot still in store here on episode number 451 of the Sports Report. Thanks so much for tuning in. Paul Roberts with you every Monday on grizzlyproductions.tv and, of course, the podcast section of iTunes. Right now, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, and they have been with the show for a long, long time, and that is iHome. iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology to help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. And that's something that is important to all of us. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise sound that's designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce is known as the sleep doctor, and he recommends these new iHome products. He's the most trusted authority on sleep in the entire nation. So go to the website, take a look, iHomeAudio.com. That's iHomeAudio.com. Look at the Zenergy line of products like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. Of course, iHome is the number one brand in digital speakers. You'll also find docking clock radios, portable wireless speakers, headphones, earbuds, and much, much more. It's all on the website, iHomeAudio.com. Okay, you know that I am the chief of the excuse police. One of my many nicknames, in addition to the captain of reality and king of objectivity. I can't stand excuses. And you see them every day in all aspects of life, not just sports. You see them at work. You see them in school. You see them around the house, wherever. Our society loves, with a capital L, loves to use excuses. Never my fault. Never on me. There's always an excuse why I didn't get the job done. Always. Don't look at me. I'm going to point the finger over there. Must have been his fault or her fault. So when everybody else is squawking about Beckham Jr. going down to Miami on his day off with his teammates and then acting like that's why he stunk up the joint on Sunday, sorry. The chief, and I'm not talking about Robert Parrish of Boston Celtics fame, the chief of the excuse police has to step in and intervene. Please, he dropped the ball, period. Don't make excuses for the guy. Don't blame it on a one-day trip that was 6 days before the game. And by the way, Beckham said during practice this week, he didn't have any drops. He didn't have any missed assignments. He practiced well. This is an all-pro wide receiver, one of the best of the best. We're not talking about some fourth or fifth string wide receiver here. This isn't a joker who's out there. This is an all pro. We've all seen his one-handed catches. I mean, the guy is a stud. So enough with the excuses about going to Miami. That's not why he dropped the ball, and that's not why the Giants lost this game. As for punching a hole in the wall and banging his head, that's simply immaturity. A true professional doesn't do that. I'm glad he was ticked off. That shows me that he cares. Sometimes you wonder about guys, do they really care? Do they really love this sport? Everybody loves to win. But the best of the best hate to lose. And you always heard stories about Michael Jordan, whether it was a game or something going on in the casino or the golf course, whatever, the guy hated to lose. And I do think that's true of Beckham Jr. But you don't act like a three-year-old, all right? You don't punch the wall. You don't bang your head. Now, would I have gone to Miami? No way. But that's not why he dropped those passes. It's not why the Giants lost the game. So we need to stop with the excuses. The second thing that I need to clear up is the annual rest versus rust debate. And I'm a proponent of resting star players week 17, like Pittsburgh did with Big Ben and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. I thought it was a smart move. You can't risk these guys getting hurt. If your quarterback goes down in a meaningless Week 17 game, you look like a complete moron. I mean, can you imagine how bad the fans would be all over a coach if he gets a star quarterback or star receiver or running back hurt in a game that doesn't mean anything in Week 17? But, and this is a Fat Albert-sized but, every year, without fail, I hear people whining about rust. That if you sit these guys, they're going to be rusty for the playoffs. That is utter nonsense. Did the Steelers look rusty to you in the first quarter versus Miami? And I was tweeting about this at the Sports RPT because I had to get this off my chest. I mean, this is one of my pet peeves. You know what's another one of my pet peeves? Since it is wintertime, if it snows, can you please take the 2 minutes to brush the snow off your car or the ice off your car instead of being so lazy that you leave it on the top of your car on the hood and then you're out on the highway going 65, 70 and you got chunks of snow and ice flying off and going in the other lane, hitting other cars. It's dangerous. Again, don't use an excuse. Oh, I was running late for work or this and that. Just get it done. All right, I don't want to be driving next to some clown that's got chunks of ice coming off his car. I just saw it this weekend. And it wasn't a whole lot. And fortunately, nothing happened. But geez, are you really that lazy? Anywho, it's another one of my pet peeves, just like this, oh, they're going to be rusty debate. In the first quarter, the Steelers had more than 200 yards of offense. They had an 85-yard touchdown drive. They had a 90-yard touchdown drive. Ben Roethlisberger started this game 10 for 10. Does that sound like a guy who's rusty to you? 10 out of 10? It was 14-0. 8 minutes into the game. Meanwhile, the Giants played their starters week 17. How did they look on Sunday on the offensive side of the football? They looked terrible, right? So I think finally we need to end this little debate about whether stars should sit week 17 or that they need to be out there because then you're going to throw off the timing and all that baloney. Being healthy is the most important factor. And if you don't believe me, you don't want to hear it from me, go ask a fan of the Oakland Raiders. Okay? I guarantee they will tell you how important being healthy is in the NFL playoffs. So I'm all for sitting guys in week 17 if it is a meaningless game. Now, obviously, if you're playing for seed, if you're playing for a bye, home field advantage, something like that, different scenario. But if it is a meaningless game, sit him. So I agree with what Coach Tomlin did. And his guys weren't rusty at all. They were firing on all cylinders in that first quarter against Miami. Speaking of health, Big Ben was wearing a walking boot on his right foot after the game. He hurt his ankle while throwing an interception late in the game. That drive started with Pittsburgh up 30-12 and 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. which begs the question, why is he in the game? It is a 3-score game. You're up 18. Get him the heck out of the game. Get him off the field. And Mike Tomlin isn't alone. All of these NFL coaches leave their quarterbacks out there in blowouts. For the life of me, I've never understood this. I don't get it. I mean, the quarterback is the game. You don't have a quarterback, you don't win. Not at this level. And we're talking about a sport that's as violent as football. Now, Roethlisberger did say he's going to play Sunday at Kansas City, but he should have been out of that game. And let's get to the positives for Pittsburgh here, and there were a lot of them. Le'Veon Bell set a franchise record, 167 rushing yards in a playoff game, got 29 carries and scored twice. He is the king of patience. He really is. I've never seen a running back with this style where he almost comes to a complete stop at the line of scrimmage and then waits and waits and waits and finds his hole. No coach in high school in the country, or college coach for that matter, would teach that style. I mean, they all scream and yell to get up inside as quick as possible, to hit the hole as hard as you can, right? And he's just like taking a Sunday stroll in the park. A 167 for Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Brown, 5 catches, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns. Did have a couple drops in the game. Could have had even more. Big Ben, 13 of 18. They did not need to throw in this game. 197 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did have 2 interceptions. And I don't know what he was doing on the last one. The play got injured. I mean, just take the sack there. You have the lead. Why aren't you just throwing it up for grabs like that? As for Miami, Matt Moore finished 29 of 36, which is good. 289 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. I still don't know how this guy only missed one play after Bud Dupree absolutely hammered him in the second quarter. I mean, that was as scary of a hit as you will see. Got him with his helmet right around his jaw. Moore is a tough dude. I mean, that's for sure. Totally missed one play. I thought his day was over. And he's right back out there. He was sacked 5 times. Honestly, this is what I expected. Miami was an 11, 12-point underdog for a reason. Let the line lead the way. Sometimes fans get scared off by the big lines. There's a reason for it, as you saw with Seattle and Detroit. I said going into the wild card round that people were overlooking the Seahawks. And I know that they've had some clunkers, but they were 7-1 at home. That place rocks. It was a night game, so fans have more time to get a few more beverages in their stomach. And I'm not talking about iced tea or lemonade. And that's a veteran team, mobile quarterback, who is used to playing on the big stage. Detroit was a great story, but the Lions came up small late in the season. They failed to clinch the division. So this is what happens. You got to go on the road. And Detroit has not won a playoff game since 1992. Meanwhile, Seattle's now won 10 straight home playoff games. There's a reason for that. The Lions had a shot early, but drops, penalties hurt them. And then Paul Richardson stole the show. He had 2 amazing one-handed grabs. The first one was on 4th and goal from the 2 midway through the second quarter. Pete Carroll rolled the dice. I like to get points, you know, especially early on, jump out to the lead. But they converted, and Richardson was interfered with on the play and still made the one-handed catch. I mean, that was one of the best catches of the NFL season. Thomas Rawls, I've talked about him before. This dude is a hard-nosed runner. He is a blue-collar, lunch pail type of running back. He runs like somebody just stole his lunch money. I mean, this guy is angry when he's out on the field. He rumbled for a team playoff record, 161 yards, 27 carries and a touchdown. Very similar numbers to Le'Veon Bell. So we saw two franchise records for playoff games get surpassed. Seattle dominated Detroit on the ground. And I think that might have surprised some because the Seahawks offensive line has been under a lot of scrutiny this season, and deservedly so. Russell Wilson had a very nice night too. 23 of 30, 224, two touchdowns, no interceptions. You'll take that every time. Matthew Stafford only threw for 205. Detroit had zero running game. Nothing new there. They haven't been a balanced team all season. 26-6 was the final score. First downs, 24-13 in favor of Seattle. Total yards, 387 to 231. It wasn't close, even though the score was 10-6 going into the fourth quarter, but Seattle controlled the clock, and you never really got the feeling that the Lions were threatening, even when it was a four-point game there. Seattle iced it with two 80-yard touchdown drives in the fourth quarter. We all thought that Oakland at Houston would be ugly, and for the most part it was, especially for Raiders fans. Oakland was down to its third-string quarterback in Connor Cook out of Michigan State. He's a rookie. He's on the road. He is making his first NFL start, and it's against the number one defense in the league. Thanks for coming. Drive home safely. It's a shame for Raiders Nation. First trip to the playoffs since the 2002 season, and injuries just ruined it. Derek Carr hurt, Matt McGloin hurt, their left tackle, who is a really good player, Donald Penn, he was out of the game. The Raiders were just helpless on offense. Jadeveon Clowney had a big pick in the first corner, and that led to a very, very short field for Houston. They get a touchdown, they go up 10-0. It was 20-7 at halftime, and you knew that Oakland could not come back. I mean, there was no way that they were going to get over 20 points. Brock Osweiler, 14-25, 168 yards, a touchdown pass, a touchdown run, and no interceptions. So the $72 million man was effective in the first half. Cook ended up 18-45, 161 yards, a touchdown, and count them, three interceptions. That all adds up to a quarterback rating of 30. Ouch. So the Raiders are done. You would have liked to see what this team could have done in the postseason with Derek Carr. But like I said, injuries happen all the time. And that's another reason that week 17, if I'm locked in, I'm not playing my stars. Let's look ahead now at the divisional round here on episode 451 of the Sports Report. And you can comment on the games I just covered on Twitter at the Sports RPT. What did you think about some of the coaching decisions this weekend? The rest versus rust debate and Beckham's trip down to Miami. We're on Twitter at the Sports RPT. I'm liking three of the four games in the divisional round. The lone exception, of course, is Houston at New England, which I'll get into in a second. In the NFC, you have Dallas, the top seed at home against Green Bay. This is the final game of the weekend. It's Sunday, 4:40 Eastern time. Seattle, the three seed, will play the two seed Atlanta Saturday, first game of the weekend, 4:35 Eastern time. And both those games, you know, I think you could see the underdog, and I'll give you the lines here in a bit. You could see the underdog winning. I mean, you could see the road teams winning. As good as the Falcons have been, you know, Matt Ryan could easily win the MVP. You got Julio Jones. You got Freeman. I mean, they have weapons all over the place. I'm still not locked and loaded as far as their defense. Not sold on their defense there. And the same for Dallas. Really like Sean Lee. He's a tackling machine, a linebacker out of Penn State. But it's not the 85 Bears. Over in the AFC, a first game on Sunday, Pittsburgh the 3 seed at Kansas City the 2 seed. and that is a 1:05 kickoff, which leaves us with Houston at New England. Houston, the 4 seed. The Patriots, of course, the number 1 seed, Saturday night at 8:15. The Patriots are the biggest playoff favorites since 1998. I was still in college then at the Cuse. And the line is going up. It's not going down. It's going up. I'll also get you the updated Super Bowl odds here. This Patriots line opened at 14.5. It quickly went up to 16. And that makes it one of the 4 largest playoff point spreads in the past 40 seasons. The 98 Minnesota Vikings, and that was a team that could put up a lot of points, they were 16-point favorites over the Cardinals. In the 94 playoffs, the 49ers with Steve Young at quarterback, 17.5-point favorites over the Bears in the divisional round. And then the Niners were 18-point favorites over the Chargers in the Super Bowl. If you want to go back further, the Colts, of course, lost to Joe Namath and the Jets. Baltimore was an 18-point favorite in Super Bowl III. Joe Namath made the guarantee. The rest is history. Now, going back here with some of these big lines, because you're probably wondering, well, did they cover? 3 of the 4 big ones did here. The 94 Niners covered both of those games. The Super Bowl against San Diego, line was 18. They won by 23. And the playoff game against the Bears, line was 17.5. And they won by 29. The 98 Vikings were minus 16 against Arizona. Minnesota won by 20. The team that did not cover was Dallas in 78. Dallas was a 15-point favorite against Atlanta. And the Cowboys won by 7. So of those 4, only Dallas did not cover. As I always say, let the line lead the way. And it was true this weekend too. Seattle had a big line at home. Pittsburgh a big line at home. Some people get scared away. Those teams came through. This Patriots line might go higher than all of those because it was already up to 17 points as of Sunday night at some of the books out in Vegas. As for the money line, the Patriots were listed as $1,800 favorites to win the game straight up. Okay, that means you would have to risk $1,800 to win $100 on New England. It's hard to blame anyone who's looking at the Patriots here. You have Brady, you have Belichick. I don't go against that combination. And week 3, the Patriots shut out the Texans 27-0, and that was with not Tom Brady. Oh, no. That was with Jacoby Brissett, the rookie under center. And it was still 27-0. So you understand why this line is as big as it is. The other 3 divisional round games should be competitive. Atlanta's a 4.5-point favorite. Dallas is a 4-point favorite. Pittsburgh opened as a 1.5-point favorite at Kansas City. Tough place to play. That line has adjusted. Now Kansas City is a 1-point favorite, and that makes a little bit more sense here. Super Bowl odds at the Westgate Superbook. Patriots are your 3-2 favorite. Nobody's surprised by that. Cowboys, your 2nd choice at 9-2. Dallas, a very public team. Falcons are at 6-1. And then you have the Chiefs and Steelers. They are both at 8-1. And, of course, they're playing each other. Couple of 10-1 teams here that I think you get good value on. Seattle and Green Bay, both at 10-1. And then you have to go down to find the Texans, who are at 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. I have no shot of that. So those are the updated Super Bowl odds. Patriots again at 3-2, Cowboys 9-2, Falcons 6-1, Chiefs, Steelers 8-1, Seahawks, Packers at 10-1. This is episode number 451 of the Sports Report Podcast. I'm Paul Roberts with you every Monday on grizzlyproductions.tv and the podcast section of iTunes. If you have a second, we love to see those five-star reviews, so please keep those coming. Helps to promote the show. Finally, an NBA note here, and I live about an hour from Philadelphia, so I pay attention to the 76ers, and Joel Embiid really is creating a lot of buzz in the city of brotherly love. The guy's only 22. He's averaging 19 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, and he's doing all this in 25 minutes a game. He's on a restriction because of his previous injuries. He's 7'2", 275 pounds. Sometimes you see him handle the ball. He's shooting threes, and he's making them. Sunday at Brooklyn, he had 20 points in only 24 minutes, and they beat the Nets 105-95. But what made headlines after the game was the fact that Embiid said the Sixers have a chance to make the playoffs. Let me repeat that. The 10-25 Sixers have a chance to make the playoffs. Now, if you look at the standings, Washington's your number 8 seed. The Sixers are 7.5 games behind the Wizards. But Embiid said, quote, "We are coming together. We're just great now." The guy does make you laugh, and he says funny stuff on Twitter as well. Philadelphia won its 10th game Sunday, as I mentioned. That's as many wins as the Sixers had all last season. Some tough years in Philadelphia. The Sixers have won 3 of 4. However, if we dig a little deeper, the wins are against Brooklyn. Brooklyn's 8-28, worst record in the NBA. Minnesota's 11-26, and Denver's 14-23. So yes, the Sixers have won 3 of 4, but they beat Brooklyn, Minnesota, and Denver. The three stooges right there. So I like watching Joel Embiid, and it looks like he's going to be a star for many, many years. You hope he stays healthy, and hopefully Ben Simmons is back soon. At 6'10", he can be your point forward. Be fun to watch those two play together. Maybe the Sixers have a little hope. Dario Saric had 18 points off the bench on Sunday. So some of these lottery picks are actually on the court. They still desperately need a shooting guard. But playoffs, I can't do it. I cannot do it. Sorry, big man. Can't go playoffs when you're 10-25. Nope, I think I'll pass on that one. But thought we'd end on a humorous note. Keep the tweets coming at the Sports RPT and tell your friends about the show. If they're into sports, your family members, relatives, your coworkers, tell them about the podcast. Tell them to give it a try. With you every Monday. Two places to go, iTunes, of course, and you can listen to previous shows there as well. Just type in the Sports Report with Paul Roberts and on the Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv. Again, on Twitter at the Sports RPT. If you want to send me your picks for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, you can certainly do that on Twitter again at the Sports RPT. Have a great week, everybody. I will talk to you again next Monday. This has been episode number 451 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv.